UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The countdown continues for the Tokyo Olympics, the year's biggest international sporting event. We're now 165 days away to the multi-sports jamboree in Japan. The 12-team field for the Olympic women's basketball tournament is complete after weekend qualifying action. In addition to host Japan and the 8-time Olympic champion United States, the teams that qualified are, in alphabetical order, Australia, Belgium, Canada, China, France, Nigeria, Puerto Rico, Serbia, South Korea, and Spain. The Tigres of Nigeria clinched their second Olympic appearance at a qualifying tournament in Belgrade, Serbia. The Nigerian women finished third behind Serbia and the first place USA in Belgrade, but that was good enough to qualify for Tokyo 2020. In action Sunday, the USA beat Nigeria 76-71. The Americans rallied from a 57-50 deficit in the final quarter. One of the USA's coaches, Cheryl Reeve, said they expected a tough game, and that's what they got. Point guard Ezine Kalu led Nigeria with a team-high 17 points and a game-high 8 assists. Ezine was named to the all-tournament team in Belgrade. In an interview with Iron Mike Imbonye, she said the Tigress is delighted to be going to Tokyo in July.
I think we're all extremely happy. It's an amazing experience to qualify for the Olympics. The last time Nigeria was in the Olympics in 2004, so it's very huge for us. We're so happy.
Lots and lots of Nigerians are following your game. What message do you have for Nigerians? What would you like to tell them?
Yes, I just want to tell all our fans, thank you so much for the support. We see every one of you. We appreciate every one of you for having our backs and being here with us throughout the step of the way. We're so, so grateful for having Nigeria behind us, the strong voices, the love, and the support. We really, really appreciate it. I don't think we have come this far without everyone.
Do you have plans to get more Nigerian players out there in the U.S. and Europe to join you and make a formidable team for the Olympic Games?
Yeah, sure. I'm not sure what the coaching staff has planned or the Federation. Hopefully they have another training camp and give other Nigerians the opportunity to come try out for the team to make it to go to the Olympics and experience that. But right now, that decision depends on the coaching staff and NBBS.
That's point guard Ezine Kalu of Nigeria's national women's basketball team, nicknamed the Tigress. And Ezine spoke with Iron Mike Imbonye on the telephone from Belgrade, Serbia.
What's your greetings? This is Ezine Kalu, point guard for the Nigerian Women National Basketball Team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
In African athletics, Kenyans dominated the Lagos City Marathon in Nigeria over the weekend, as we hear now from Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson!
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. Kenya's David Barsami Tumo won the 42 kilometers event of the 2020 Lagos City Marathon, which ended at the weekend in Lagos. In the men's category, David Tumo broke the marathon's record and finished first in 2 hours, 10 minutes, 23 seconds. Debeko Dakumu and Paul Chege, however, came second and third in that order. David Tumo was excited to go home with a star prize of $50,000.
I just started from
way back in Kenya by training, giving more energy to sport. When during training, I was very much serious on the training.
In the female category, Sharon Jamutai won the race in 2 hours, 31 minutes, 40 seconds and was rewarded with a sum of $50,000 for her efforts.
From the beginning, I asked God for the victory. And I thank God because of the victory, I met it.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hello sports fans, this is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to 20-year-old Armand Duplantis, who broke the world record in the pole vault over the weekend at a meet in Poland. Duplantis cleared 6 meters 17, adding 1 centimeter to the previous mark set by Frenchman Renaud Lavillenie in 2014. Speaking after his world record, Duplantis said, and I quote, "It's something that I wanted since I was 3 years old. It's a big year, but it's a good way to start it." And here are a few fun facts about the new pole vault world record holder. Duplantis is nicknamed Mondo. He was born in the southern U.S. city of Lafayette, Louisiana, to an American father and a Swedish mother. Mondo competes for Sweden in international competition. Mondo was born into an athletic family. Mondo's father, Greg, is a former pole vaulter, and his mother, Helena, is a former heptathlete and volleyball player. Armand Mondo Duplantis, the new world record holder in the pole vault, and definitely an athlete to watch at this year's Tokyo Olympics. Meanwhile, 800 meters runner Alex Amankwa is hoping to represent Ghana at his second Olympics in Tokyo. The 27-year-old Amankwa is training not far from our Voice of America headquarters, just across the Potomac River in Arlington, Virginia. Dan Friedel asked Alex about training here in the Washington area.
Well, the weather has definitely been an adjustment. I've been in Alabama. I went to the University of Alabama, and it's usually hot over there. So when I came here and it was 30 degrees, 20 degrees and snowing, I was like, man, I gotta bundle up because this is not what I'm used to. But I've been adjusting well, just, you know, wearing some extra gear, some gloves and a hat. So that hasn't been too bad of a transition. And my teammates have definitely helped me out so much. Being part of District Track Club, with my coach Tom, he has elevated me not only to be a better runner, but to be a better man, to be a better leader. And I'm so thankful and grateful that, you know, this opportunity came into my life, because I don't know where I would be without it. And my teammates, we have a great dynamic. We joke around. We're competitive. You know, we're always challenging ourselves to be better athletes and be a better person. So I'm really happy about that. And our team manager, Ryan, you know, I don't know where I would be. You know, he helps me out so much with my schedule. If I ever need anything, I can go to him. So just the whole dynamic of the team is perfect for me. And they're very supportive, so I'm really appreciative towards that.
I'm Dan Friedel. I'm here in Arlington, Virginia with Alex Amankwa, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. Alex is a 2016 Ghanaian Olympic team member, 800-meter runner, and he's working on getting himself in shape, looking forward to setting the standard that would give him an automatic entry into the Olympics. Wanted to ask you, Alex, about the difference between being a runner at a university and having classes and some of the scheduling differences compared to being a professional runner. How is that easier? Is it harder? What's it like to have that transition?
Running at the university level, I think, is a lot easier to do. Even though the level of competition is more difficult as a professional, the support is very different as a professional. University, they take care of your flights, they take care of what you're going to eat, all the, everything you can think of, it's already taken care of. But as a professional, you need to have that support, which is why I'm so thankful for Under Armour, because they gave me that support. Now I can go into races and not have to worry about, you know, like how I'm going to have my bills paid. Just knowing that they're behind me and supporting me through, you know, wins and losses mean so much. And it's a brand that I love to represent. So it's definitely much harder, being a professional just because of the support, you know. So if you think about running in comparison to, like, let's say the NBA, in the NBA, like, most of your competition is going to come from the United States. That's where the best basketball players are. But in track and field, you have the whole world to be, you know, competing against. And without support, it makes it very, very difficult to do so. Because, you know, you have to – running takes up so much time, and you also have to work and try to make money. So I'm just glad that Under Armour is here supporting me.
If you're looking at a program who's entering into a race and you see a last name like yours, obviously you know that's not an American last name. So what is it like for you to be somebody who's born in Africa, living in the United States with the last name like that, and kind of representing people from a different continent and a different country while you're living in the U.S.?
It's definitely a blessing. I know a lot of... you know, Ghana has some good runners, but it's not known as a running country. You know, you think of runners from Africa, you think of, you know, Kenya and Ethiopia and things like that. But it makes me proud to know that I'm representing Ghana, especially the place I was born. You know, it makes my mother proud and my family back at home proud. So if you guys are listening to this, hi. But definitely, I'm just proud to represent Ghana, and it means a lot. It means a lot to me.
How much time do you think you have left as a professional runner? Do you have your eyes on maybe making a run at another Olympics 4 years from now? And what are your ultimate goals after your running career is over as a competitor?
When it comes to the timeline for how long I want to keep running, I think I have a good amount of years left. I think I can definitely go till the next Olympics after Tokyo. If you think of when I started running, I was relatively pretty young. I started running at 17, senior year in high school, and I've progressed very well. So I think that my legs still have a good amount of energy going. And afterwards, I love coaching. In a perfect world, I want to coach in a Division I college, helping athletes achieve their goals and not only become better athletes, but become better runners, and kind of instill what I've learned from all the coaches in my past onto them. Because you know, sometimes I see coaches and they're coaching or just teaching athletes the wrong way, and you know, I want every athlete that ever comes in contact with me to, you know, feel like they've developed as a better person and as a better runner.
Alex, that sounds great. Once again, you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports here on The Voice of America, talking with Alex Amankwa, representative of the Ghanaian Olympic team living just outside of Washington, D.C. in Virginia. Alex, let me wish you the best of luck on your pursuit, and thanks for joining us on The Sunny Side of Sports.
Thank you guys for having me. It was a pleasure, and hope to see you guys soon, 2020 Olympics.
Try it. singing, come back, baby, come back. Come back, baby, come back.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Prince Nesta joins us once again for a look at the weekend European club football highlights. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. PSG and Lyon put on a 6-goal thrill on Sunday night, as Thomas Tuchel's side extended their lead at the top of the French league with a 4-2 victory against Lyon. French footballer of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe, Argentine winger Angel Di Maria, Edinson Cavani, and Fernando Martial on goal ensured the Parisians moved to the top of the summit with 61 points from 24 games. French forward of Malian descent Moussa Dembélé and Martin Terrier both scored Lyon's consolation goals. Nigerian international Victor Osimhen and Renato Sanchez scored either side of the break to ensure Lille snatched a 2-0 win at Angers, while Dimitri Payet scored his second spectacular goal of the week to help second place Marseille beat Toulouse 1-0 and extend its unbeaten run to 16 games.
Heavy rain and strong winds disrupted matches across the United Kingdom, Prince. How about some details for us?
Yeah, the storm nicknamed Ciara lashed the United Kingdom, damaging buildings, causing transport disruption, and effectively leading to a number of major European football games being called off. Sonny, that actually isn't the only reason why a number of English Premier League matches weren't played during the weekend. The Premier League actually introduced a winter break some time back, claiming the rest benefits players for the second half of the season, especially those in the latter stages of the Champions League and the Europa League. But to also satisfy the demands of TV companies, it's a split break, meaning the Premier League football will not actually stop. Essentially, one full round of Premier League games is split in half and played over two weekends. It's designed that way to give all teams at least 13 days between Premier League games, with none of the matches taking place at the same time. During the weekend, a number of Premier League matches were actually played, with Carlo Ancelotti's Everton beating Crystal Palace 3-1 at Goodison Park to move up to 7th, while Sheffield United continued their remarkable Premier League campaign with a 2-1 comeback victory over lowly Bournemouth on Sunday.
Prince, let's go to Spain now. Real Madrid rallies from a goal down to beat Osasuna.
Yeah, the Los Blancos continue their dominance in La Liga with a 4-1 victory at Osasuna. Zinedine Zidane's men were forced to stage a comeback after Yuna Garcia's opener after 14 minutes, with two quick fire efforts handling Madrid control. Isco's 33rd minute volley leveled the game, and Sergio Ramos made it 2-1 to the visitors 5 minutes later. Lucas Vazquez wrapped up the points after linking with Karim Benzema with 6 minutes remaining, and Luka Jovic made it 4 in the second minute of stoppage time. Meanwhile, 6-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi inspired Barcelona to a thrilling 3-2 win over Real Betis, registering 3 assists as the Blaugrana twice came from behind to secure a crucial victory. The result means Barca finished the day exactly where they started, 3 points behind Real Madrid, and puts an end to a hard week for the defending champions that saw French footballer of Malian descent Ousmane Dembélé sustain a serious injury. Messi lashed out at sporting director Eric Abidal, and the team losing 1-0 to Athletic Bilbao to exit the Copa del Rey.
Prince, let's go to Italy now. Inter Milan goes to the top of Serie A after a remarkable second-half comeback.
Yeah, Belgian South Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku, Marcelo Brozovic, Matthias Vecino, and Stefan de Vrij all found the net as Inter Milan rallied from a 2-0 halftime deficit to clinch a 4-2 derby victory over AC Milan in a breathless contest at San Siro. Inter regained top spot at the expense of Juventus, who lost 2-1 to Verona. Five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo scored the consolation goal, becoming the first Juventus player to score in 10 straight Serie A games, taking his league tally for the season up to 20. And Prince Nesta, on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. Just ahead, we'll take a look at some of Sunday's National Basketball Association highlights.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Sunday, Atlanta Hawks guard Trae Young turned in a dynamic all-around performance as he prepares for his first All-Star Game appearance. Young had 48 points and 13 assists as the Hawks beat the visiting New York Knicks in double overtime, 140-135. It was the ninth time Trae Young has scored at least 40 points, the second most in the NBA this season. Young made all 16 of his free throw attempts and knocked down 6 three-point shots. And speaking of three-point shots, a Croatian player for the Utah Jazz made a big one in Houston, Texas. The AP's Adam Spillane reports from Houston.
Bojan Bogdanović hit a contested 29-footer at the buzzer, giving the Utah Jazz a 114-113 walk-off win over the Houston Rockets. Bogdanović's three answered P.J. Tucker's with 1.6 seconds remaining. Bogdanović says that was one of the biggest shots of his career.
One of the best ones, especially because we struggle against Houston on a home. It's potentially tiebreaker game. This game is going to be huge at the end of the season.
Jordan Clarkson's 30 points off the bench led the Jazz, while Donovan Mitchell added 24. Russell Westbrook's 39-point night led the Rockets. James Harden chipped in 28 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists for his third triple-double of the season. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. Now let's go to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, where there was another tight one-point game. The visiting Boston Celtics edged the host Oklahoma City Thunder, as we hear now from the AP's Bradley Henderson.
The visiting Boston Celtics defeat the Oklahoma City Thunder 112-111. A steal from Marcus Smart with 5.8 seconds remaining helped secure the win for the Boston Celtics to extend their win streak to 7 games and snap the Thunder's 4-game streak. Kemba Walker led the Celtics with a game-high 27 points. Jason Tatum contributed 26 points and 11 rebounds in the win.
It took a lot of grit. They're a really good team. They got a lot of great players, especially when they go to the three-guard lineup. They're tough and they compete, so we just have to match that intensity.
Danilo Gallinari and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander both contributed 24 points in the loss. The Celtics improved to 37-15 on the season, while the Thunder fall to 32-21. Bradley Henderson, Oklahoma City.
Thanks, Bradley. Here's a name I haven't said on the Sunny Side of Sports before. Furkan Korkmaz, a Turkish player for the Philadelphia 76ers. The 22-year-old Korkmaz has really taken advantage of recent playing time. After netting a career-high 34 points on Friday night, Korkmaz came back on Sunday and scored 31 points as Philadelphia beat the visiting Chicago Bulls 118-111. Cameroonian star Joel Embiid had 28 points and 12 rebounds for Philadelphia. And that wraps up the February 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Nadia Taha. Thanks also to VOA engineer, John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This weekend, tune in and treat yourself to an hour of amazing pan-African music. Current Afropop, coupe décalé, gospel crossover, Afrobeats, bonga flavor, and neo-traditional tunes will delight and excite you. The chill, classic throwback sounds of Wasalun, Maskandi, and Juju music will relax you and make you smile. That is so beautiful. Oh, say yes. It one more time. And Song of the Week, Shekere, by Yemi Alade and Angelique Kidjo will make you want to get up and dance. It's going to be so much fun. So join me this Sunday and the following Saturday at 1505 and 20500 UTC.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic, etc.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on The Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time,
with David Bandy.
Hello, sports fans. This is the voice of America's Sonny Young. Please join me Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC for the Sunny Side of Sports. On Fridays, you can also hear my expanded 30-minute edition of the show at 17:30 UTC, right here on the English to Africa service of the Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Many consider the smartphone a technological wonder. With it, you can communicate with family and friends, as well as listen to music, check the weather or latest news, and with built-in GPS, keep yourself from getting lost. What many would consider a good smartphone feature is a way for it to help keep yourself healthy. While most smartphone manufacturers are concerned with regulatory issues a feature like this would bring, scientists at the University of Cincinnati have developed a small phone add-on medical system that would be able to monitor and detect a number of health conditions. The scientists say that with just a single drop of blood or saliva on a custom lab chip, the device can diagnose infectious diseases or countless other health conditions. After gathering diagnostic data, the device then automatically transmits the information to a doctor. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.